You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and Engineer Jim. And ladies and gentlemen, it is Mayock season. Mayock season. Not Maybach season. It's always Maybach season. Shout out the Untouchable Maybach Empire one time. But it's time to talk to GM Mike Mayock. And we joke about it all year. We go, you know, we say, hey, you know, Mike is kind of not in hiding, but he is kind of more behind the scenes from week one to week 17. But once the season ends, he emerges, and like the phoenix, he rises again, because this is Mayock season. So we officially kick off Mayock season today, or I should say technically we kicked it off this morning, when Mike checked in with us from Mobile, Alabama, where he and nine of his scouts are down really doing all the scouting that one can do at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. And for those of you who just have a short-term memory, which, to be fair, some days is a lot of us. A few years ago, the Raiders went down. They coached the Senior Bowl. Us, Silver and Black Productions, we were down there as well. And let us not forget the gems that this team found from the Senior Bowl. A lot of good players. Hunter Renfrow, Alec Ingold, John Abram. If memory serves, I believe Clee Ferrell was there as well. But you get the point. Keelan Doss, a lot of guys that played in the Senior Bowl ended up on the Raiders roster. And so this is the time where Mayock and his guys really get down to the nitty-gritty, where they figure out who is going to be the next person to wear the silver and black. And during our conversation with Mike, we touch on a lot of things. We obviously talk about the Senior Bowl, the importance of the Senior Bowl, but we look back to 2020 and give Mike credit. He is incredibly candid with us. He is incredibly honest about the shortcomings of this team a year ago, what was good, what needs to be better, and how this team is collectively going to get there. So, without further ado, enjoy our conversation with General Manager Mike Mayock. And we're joined by General Manager Mike Mayock from Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. And Mike, first off, how is life in Alabama right now?
It's pretty good. I mean, there's a new setup this year, Eddie, that's really cool. We're at the University of South Alabama. It's a brand new stadium on campus. We've got a box overlooking the 50-yard line. So you're only allowed 10 representatives per team instead. So we don't even have any coaches here. It's 10 scouts. We get tested every day. The access is different, but it's kind of cool because we have 4 hours of interviews every night. So from 7 p.m. to 11:15, we've got a series of 32 interviews, and it's been pretty cool, and it's been really well run by Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl. And even during a COVID situation like right now, we're getting all the information we need.
You know, and obviously this offseason is going to be so much different compared to offseasons we've had in the past, Mike. And how valuable is that time in Mobile for you and the staff to get a chance to meet these guys, to get a chance to see them in pads and doing what they do best?
It's critical because, you know, we got a taste of it last year with all the virtual meetings, no pro days, all of that kind of stuff. I think we learned some lessons. We were all hoping we were going to have a normal offseason, and we obviously don't. So this is going to be our best opportunity by far to get to know over 100 guys, to have an opportunity to interview every single one, to watch 3 days of practice, the practices prioritize one-on-one drills. So we're working from about 5:36 in the morning to 11:15 at night. And this is probably going to be the best week of information gathering in the offseason because the combine is not going to be the same. We are going to have pro days, but the amount of contact at pro days with the individuals, even with coaches at the school, is severely restricted. So it's going to be another offseason with virtual meetings. And that's why the value of the Senior Bowl, I think, is maybe more valuable than it's ever been.
I mean, you talk about how important this week is for you and the staff and the organization. And I wonder, from an evaluation standpoint, Mike, what is the position that you need to see these guys in person? You know, like, the tape is great. You can learn a lot about a player from the tape. But what is the position where you're like, I need to see him in pads on the field going through drills?
Yeah, it's a good question. And in the past, I always would have said the easy answer is quarterback. And I still believe that. Okay, you can evaluate quarterbacks all day long, but until you stand on the field with them, and watch the ball come out of their hand, it's a different conversation. You can measure accuracy. How far did it get thrown? Did he put air under it? All that stuff on tape. But you got to feel it. You got to feel the ball coming out of his hands. What kind of velocity? Just you got to feel the quarterback, his drop, his ability to command a huddle. You know, there are a lot of these college kids that have never even been in a huddle. So it's being in person for quarterback is critical. Now, that's my generic answer. I think in real life, it's critical to see all these guys. Just for example, a wide receiver. Again, guy runs 4-4. Great. But does he play to 4-4? How does he come out of his breaks? Do you feel him coming out of his breaks? Or does he have to kind of measure himself coming out? The one-on-one drills here are what really the Senior Bowl's always been about. And the opportunity to watch the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman one-on-one is really, I'll go home and watch that film to remind myself. But in person, again, it makes a difference.
You know, and really, I think the hope for you and the staff, for fans of this team, for this organization as a whole, is like you said, you get a lot of good information. You take advantage of the situation. Hopefully 2021 is even bigger and brighter for the Silver and Black. But going back to 2020 for a sec, Mike, how do you classify that year? Because on one end, you see an increase in the win column, but on the other end, it almost feels kind of like a season that of what coulda, shoulda, woulda been as well.
Well, no excuses. I would characterize it as frustrating and disappointing. You know, we were 6-3, and we controlled our own playoff lives, and we didn't take care of business. So the year before, we were 6-4. You know, so I think the difference this year, if I had to say, where did you make a jump? You know, we beat some really good football teams this year. We beat Kansas City. We beat Cleveland. We beat New Orleans. But the problem is we didn't do it consistently enough, especially at the end of the season. So did we get a little bit better? Yeah. I think we were a top 10 offense. Any way you want to categorize that, including points per game. Liked what we did offensively, but we got to get way, way better on defense.
And I think that, you know, if you're a fan, and Mike, you know, you don't live in a vacuum. You see the same things that we do, that if you're a fan of this team, you go into this offseason saying, how are we going to fix the defense? Obviously, Gus Bradley is going to be a key part of that. But do you, when you look at the defense kind of as a whole, looking back to last year, is it as far away as a lot of folks out there seem to think it is? Because when I take a look at it, the cupboard isn't bare. So how do you kind of, I guess, approach rebuilding this defense over the next couple months?
Yeah, it's another good question. I mean, the way we look at it, or at least the way I look at it, is that last year we did not have a dynamic playmaker at any level. Okay, and that's hard when you go into a game every Sunday and they don't have to specifically game plan for any one player. Okay, when you take a step back, do you go, is there anybody in the building that could be a dynamic playmaker? And I think we have a few guys. You know, Max Crosby played through some injuries last year that a lot of people wouldn't. I think Cleveland Farrell is going to continue to develop. On the back end, we've got some talent, but and again, no excuses, but we had so much COVID, so much injury. So, you know, in the last 2 years, we've put a lot of draft capital on the back end, and it's time for them to start playing. We got 2 first-round picks. We got a second-round pick. We have 2 fourth-round picks. And at the end of the day, they need to be a lot more consistent. And again, COVID year, a lot of injuries, I get it. But we've got to demand more from them next year.
You know, and we've heard that a bunch throughout the season, really offseason, was, you know, we're not here to make excuses. And I look at it as it's not excuses, it's the reality of the situation. And speaking of that reality, Mike, this rookie class kind of in totality, it felt like it took a while for them to kind of get their bearing, to get their sea legs under them. Because of the weirdness of the offseason last year, because of just the incredible circumstances we all lived through this year, is it kind of harder to evaluate what they did as a collective last year?
Not really. I was disappointed in the productivity of our rookies. I'll be the first one to admit that. You can make excuses. You can have a conversation why. You know, Henry Ruggs, I think, is who he is. I'm not disappointed in Henry. I think Henry's got to get better, you know. And we knew how fast he is, but he's got to get stronger, and he's got to get in and out of his breaks better. You got to feel him coming out of his breaks more for him to get to the next level. And I think he will. But we've got a long-term view on Henry Ruggs. Arnett was the other first-rounder. In training camp, prior to injury, he was playing really well. We were excited about Damon Arnett. He's instinctive, tough, and fast. But concussions, a broken hand, COVID. Okay. You know, he's got to take care of business in the off season. He's nutrition, strength coach, consistency of a day-to-day program. John Abram, another first round pick. John gets out of control sometimes. John's got to play under control, accentuate the positive, and take away the negative. So there's some guys back there that we think can play, and there's some reasons their growth has been stunted, but they need to step up this year.
You know, and speaking of Henry, and Corey Littleton kind of falls in the same category, Mike, where at the end of the season, they were both very honest in their assessments of what they did in 2020 on the field. Corey was probably, to be honest, was the most blunt I've ever heard an NFL player in his assessment of what he did. And as a general manager, does that kind of give you some excitement in the fact that they're both being so accountable to what they need to do for not only themselves and their position group, but for this team to take a step forward in 2021?
I think the whole team needs to be accountable and self-aware, and that starts with me. And I got to do a better job. And, you know, we drafted some guys last year that were position changes, and maybe that wasn't fair in a COVID year. You know, we didn't have an offseason. We're asking kids to move from an outside corner into nickel in the case of Amik. We drafted a guy in the third round that we was a quarterback slot that we wanted to become a running back. We drafted a safety that we were going to move to linebacker, Tanner Muse. He got hurt, you know, so I kind of look back and say that's probably on me. Are we asking too much of these kids from a productivity perspective in year one in a COVID year when they're changing positions? So I think the entire building has got to be accountable. That's me, the personnel side, the coaching side, and the players. And until organizationally we bring all that together, you know, 8-8 is not acceptable.
Mike Bayek are good enough to give us a few minutes down in Mobile, Alabama. And Mike, when we tweeted out that we were going to have you on today, the biggest question, the question that we got the most often, and it kind of made me laugh, is so many people want to know, as Mike, are we going to be aggressive in free agency? So I had a two-parter for you. One, what does aggressive in free agency mean? Because it feels like every team is going to be aggressive in the guys they want to get. And so I'll just also, the second part of it, just relay from the fans. What's the free agency plan? Is it to be aggressive in free agency?
I think the better question is, are we going to be smart in free agency? And you can look at our track record and say we've made some bad decisions, potentially. We've also made some pretty good ones. The reality this year is that we don't even know what the budget's going to be yet. No NFL team does. And so the fans understand, you know, the salary cap was in that $195 to $200 million range a year ago. In a typical year, we'd go to about $220 to $225 this year. Because of the loss in revenue last year without any stadiums with fans, the floor for the salary cap was negotiated a year ago with the Players Association and the league. The salary cap could be $175 this year instead of what we thought would be $225. So every team in the league is sitting back and going, the floor is $175. It's not going to be $225. Is it going to be $175? Is it going to be $190? We don't even know yet. It's a moving target, okay? So I think free agency is going to start out a little bit more slowly for the entire league. We don't have a budget. We don't know what we can or can't spend yet. We've got to look at worst-case scenario, which is what if the cap is $175? So I hate to go into this long conversation. I'd like to be aggressive and smart in free agency, okay? You've got to evaluate your own players. Which guys can you try and bring back? You've got to evaluate other people's players. But when it comes down to available cash and cap, that's a whole different conversation than in a typical year.
Yeah, and like you said, this is a year that is not typical in so many ways. So just wrapping it up with Mike Mayock. Mike, what did you like about Gus Bradley when you met with him, with Coach Gruden?
I've known Gus for 18 or 20 years. And to be clear, I was not in that interview. My father had passed and I wasn't there. But I've known Gus for 18 to 20 years. Okay. And what I know about Gus is he's got a consistent philosophy about defense. His defense plays, all of his defenses have played fast and hard. I think he'll be 100% accountable to his players. And I think the players will buy into what he's teaching. And I think all of those things are important, especially given how young we are on defense.
Very well said. Well, hey, Mike, we appreciate your time. Stay safe, stay healthy and mobile. And hopefully we see you in the building sometime soon.
I can't wait, Eddie. Thanks, man.
And a big thank you to General Manager Mike Mayock for squeezing in a few minutes for us this morning in a very busy morning for him down in Mobile. And before we get out of here, guys, just a friendly reminder that tomorrow, because you guys know the show usually comes out on Thursday, except for special occasions like this, but tomorrow, our episode of Upon Further Review is one that we are all really, really proud of. It is our Tom Flores Hall of Fame Spectacular, making the case for Coach Flores to go into Canton once again. We talk with Paul Gutierrez, Omar Ruiz, John Clayton, and Coach Flores himself, and it is a really, really good version of the show. It's a good episode. We're very, very excited with how it turned out, and we hope that all of you guys enjoy it with us. So thank you for hanging out with us today, and make sure you are back with us tomorrow. So for Eddie Pascal, Engineer Jim, our friend Alexander behind the glass, and everybody at Silver and Black Productions who helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And shameless plug alert, once again, the Tom Flores Hall of Fame Spectacular, presented by the good people at Coors Light, comes out tomorrow, so make sure you lock in for that. And until then, we will see you guys, so stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you tomorrow for our usual episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.
Touchdown, Las Vegas.
Since starting Allegiant some 20 years ago, we've flown more than 100 million people to be with those they love. We're pilots, flight attendants, and technicians, but we're also parents, spouses, and neighbors. And just like you, we're excited to reconnect with the people and places that matter most. That's why we're going the distance for health and safety, on the ground and in the air. Because the further we go now, the safer it'll be to go farther tomorrow. Allegiant, the official airline of the Las Vegas Raiders. Low fares, nonstop flights, only at Allegiant.com.